Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, everybody. Welcome again to the Monday edition of Catholic Answers Live. Cy Kellett is unfortunately down with some sort of an illness, and hopefully he'll be back with you tomorrow. This is Tom Price here at the studios of EWTN Radio in beautiful Birmingham, Alabama, where it is in the 90s here. It is unbelievably fantastic. We've got a wonderful 2 hours straight ahead, and I want to give you the phone number right now because I think this is going to be a very provocative show. It is 888-318-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH. And our guest for both hours on today's program is Trent Horn. Hey there, Trent.
Hello, Tom.
Good to see you, my friend. I see you on Skype, and so we're also broadcasting that out to the whole world, right?
That's right. Here's what's interesting. So I'm in the middle of relocating here to beautiful San Diego, California, to be here in the office with my fellow Catholic Answers colleagues. And we're just in the midst of moving, which never really seems to end. So it's an exciting time. So what's funny is normally I'm the one on Skype and Cy is sitting here in this chair. And now I'm sitting in Cy's chair, and you're the one on Skype. I think that's kind of a first for me.
You look great, and I look all washed out, so we'll try to get some of the lighting issues figured out.
That's just
out
an
here.
Angelic glow. Doesn't everyone at the EWTN station have that, and they walk around?
You are a fine American. That's all I can say. 888-318-7884. So the topic today, Trent, is why aren't you religious? And this goes to something that I hear all the time from people. When I speak with them, they'll say, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Now, first of all, what does that even mean?
Right.
Do you know?
Well, it depends on who you ask. And I would enjoy talking to callers who feel this way and see what they mean by that. But when I've spoken to people who have this attitude, it refers to the idea that their connection to the divine, to the transcendent, to God, that they focus on the interior aspects of that solely and want to focus on that, the side they would call spiritual, and the exterior, what they would say are rituals, maybe meaningless rituals or, you know, different ways of responding to God. They would say, well, I don't need to go to church to be close to God. You know, I can go to the mountains to be close to God. I don't need to believe in creeds. I can just believe in goodness. Being able to have the feelings of connecting to the divine on one's own terms, I think, is what kind of motivates that. So, I'd love to hear people who aren't religious, whether you're spiritual or if you are really super not spiritual. You say, well, I'm an atheist and there is no afterlife or there's no good evidence for God. If you're not a religious person, either for whatever reason, we'd like to know why. So give us a call.
And here's the number, 888-318-7884, if you would like to engage on this very interesting topic. At least it's interesting to me. 888-318-7884. Trent, this kind of seems like a generic sort of thing when you're talking about spirituality and religion without getting into, what are you spiritual about? It seems also very generic to me.
Sure. And I think that stems a lot when people will have different beliefs about things that are important, but they don't take time to critically reflect on them to see, well, what does this mean? How do I know that it's true? So they kind of go through life, and even those of us who are religious can fall into this temptation. You just kind of go through life on autopilot, doing what you're supposed to do each day, trying to be a good person. See, that's an extremely generic term.
Oh, man.
I think that's some things that they're doing. And other people, though, I think they have an aversion to religion for various reasons, a personal interaction, a misrepresentation, seeing things in the news or religious stories or events that have rubbed them the wrong way, I think can also send people away from the idea that religion is the late atheist Christopher Hitchens once said, he said that religion poisons everything. So he's saying, wow, God is not good, how religion poisons everything, which I would disagree with.
It's like living in Bizarro World. What Superman, you know, would he would from time to time go over to Bizarro World and everything was backwards, upside down. How can you even have a thought like that? I don't get it.
Yeah, and once again, I think that comes from here's the problem. And once again, if you're not religious, I would enjoy hearing your perspective on this. So give us a call. I think the problem is people will see sin among religious people, especially among priests, bishops,
sure,
pastors,
sure,
youth ministers, and we see these things, or devout people, supposedly devout people.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll see these sins and say, well, these can't go together. Like, this doesn't make sense. And there's this revulsion to it. And you think that religion is what's making people hurt one another, abuse one another, do these terrible things. Well, the fact of the matter is sin is not a religious problem. Sin is a human problem.
Yeah.
Religion is the answer. In particular, religion has the most potent answer to that, to deliver us from sin through the grace of God given to us through Jesus Christ. So I think that that's the problem when people say, look, when you take religion out of it, the things that upset you in organized religion, you're going to find that everywhere in one form or another.
Yeah, and I remember that a priest years ago told me when I had a big conversion in the mid-90s, a priest said something to the effect of, you better know right here and now that this is a church full of sinners. It just is. And, you know, so let's not be blaming the church for this particular person's downfall or this particular person's peccadilloes.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. There is a quote, once again, for a shameless plug. I do not see it here to be able to show up, but I'm sure we could grab it later. I wrote a book called What the Saints Never Said, and there's a famous quote you've probably heard. The church is not a hotel for sinners. It is a hospital. It's not a hotel for saints. It is a hospital for sinners.
Yes.
You've probably heard that. You've probably heard it attributed to St. Augustine. It always gets it. Every quote ends up to St. Augustine at one point. It wasn't him. Two different sources, actually. There's an Episcopal bishop who said that, something like that, in the early 1930s. And actually, where it really started was a Dear Abby column in the 1960s.
Really?
Yes. There was a couple who had been cohabiting, living together. They weren't married. They wanted to get married. Didn't want people to know, you know, what was going on. So they said, what do we do? And she said, look, you're trying to do the right thing. Remember, the church is full of sinners. The church isn't. And she said, it's not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. So just a little reference there to my book. But the sentiment is true, no matter who says it, to understand. That's why the same sentiment you can see in Mark chapter 2, where Jesus says, I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners. A doctor doesn't come for the healthy. He comes to heal the sick. And those of you looking online, YouTube and Facebook, here it is.
There it is.
There
good.
It is.
You got the product in place.
I have it
glad
right
to see that. Here's our phone number, 888-318-7884, if you would like to engage in this fascinating topic to me. Why aren't you religious? We would love to hear all about that. We'll get to the phones in just a moment here. Since you mentioned Jerusalem a moment ago, my wife and I went to the Holy Land last year, spent quite a bit of time in Jerusalem, and, you know, it's a pretty tense area. Not that we ever felt we were in any danger. I don't think we were.
Yeah.
But my goodness, the tension is everywhere. And now, as we're seeing in the news that the United States is moving the embassy to Jerusalem, that's really a big deal, and really puts the church kind of right there in the bullseye, doesn't it?
Yes. And I had the privilege to be there over Easter. When the Israeli security forces were, the IDF were out in force, because of the confluence of Easter, Passover, and the celebration of Land Day, which is a Palestinian holiday where people sometimes protest and do protest in the Gaza Strip. And I think there's another protest going on tomorrow. There sadly, should pray for those. There are people who were killed in protests today there over the move of the embassy. And some people will see this and say, look at all this fighting over religion. Why do we have religion? It just causes all this turmoil and chaos. Once again, that goes back to what I was saying before, that sin, evil, those are human problems. They're not religious problems.
Yeah.
That the greatest source of conflict, people will say things like religion is the cause of most wars. And sociologically, that's just not true. Historically, that's not true. The cause of most wars are desire for resources and land that other people have. I mean, if you look at the great – I mean, the wars that have claimed the most lives in modern history were fought for secular reasons. In fact, the group – you know, we usually think of suicide bombing as something that religious zealots do. But actually – the group that has committed the most suicide bombings are a radical group in India called the Tamil Tigers, and they're secular. They're a completely secular organization. So just to go back to it, that you should not reject religion because you see bad things in religion. There's bad things everywhere. You should reject it or accept it based on whether it's true or not.
Fair enough. Why aren't you religious? That's our topic today here on Catholic Answers Live. The phone number 888-318-7884. Trent, in just a few moments here, we'll be going to Nate in Pennsylvania, Jonathan in Oklahoma, and hopefully you as well. 888-318-7884. Back in a flash with more Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn. Did you know that you can have me and other Catholic Answers speakers headline your next conference or parish event? Go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to book one of our dynamic speakers today. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. Sayings like these are such a part of tradition that we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers, even though nobody can seem to place their origin. By sheer repetition, they have acquired a halo of truth. In What the Saints Never Said, Trent Horn takes over 40 of these well-known but actual dubious sayings and attempts to track them to their true source. The result? He finds some that are close to what was really said, many that were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few that were just plain made up. By setting the record straight, Trent roots out theological errors that can lead us away from Christian truth and offers authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to that truth. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said today by calling 1-888-291-8. Visiting the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
A fascinating topic that we're tackling today here on Catholic Answers Live. Why aren't you religious? Trent Horn is in the hot seat answering your questions at 888-318-7884. And if you're ready now, we're going to begin with Nate in Pennsylvania, listening on 88.3 FM. Hello there, Nate. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Trent. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to give a basic answer to what I would say if someone asked me that. What I would say is that pretty much any time something gets written down, you know, on a sheet of paper, it loses some of the inherent meaning that was in the original idea. It's just like we can't faithfully represent God. We can't even faithfully represent the true ideals of religion. And so when we say we're a follower of something and we're not, you know, there's an internal paradox. And I think, you know, going back to every time we put a label on God, we kind of put him in a box, including religion. I see that as a label. And kind of putting God in a box. And so I think we kind of do a disservice to God and each other when we use words written, like, let's say, the Bible, as absolute instead of kind of like a guidepost.
Okay, Nate. I think I see where you're coming from, but there's something it seems confusing to me because let's say this show we're listening to, and people want to seek wisdom, people could have a transcript of this show right now of you and I talking. And so what you've just said, those could be words on a page. And I don't think your words would be any less true from what you've said versus like what might be written down on a page somewhere, something like that. So it seems to me on the one hand, you're saying, well, the written word, the Bible, things like that, they distort religion, they get God wrong, so we shouldn't put, you know, our faith in that. But on the other hand, if you know they get God wrong or they get things wrong, then you must have some way of knowing what God is like in order to see that various religions get him wrong. Doesn't that make sense?
Partially. So I think, you know, even when I say something with my mouth, okay, I know that everything I say is not the truth. You see what I mean? So, you know, I don't think we can come close to the true truth. We can't necessarily know it.
Nate, hold on real fast. Is it true? Is it true for everybody that we can't ever have the complete truth? We only get close to it.
Yes, I would say so.
Isn't that one statement that there is this universal fact that's completely true that none of us has the complete truth? It sounds kind of contradictory to me.
What I think that means, I mean, to have the complete truth, you would have to know all things. You would have to be God.
No, right? I think there's a
no.
Right. I would agree with you, Nate, that only God knows all. Right, right. Nate, I agree with you. Only God knows all truths in the universe. Totally agree with you there. But let's say we have different religions, and they have different truths, the things they claim about God, different, you know, true statements. You know, we say God is this, we say God is that. Wouldn't it make sense to say that if these different religions say different things about God, that some are more right about God and some are less right?
God is non-paradoxical, which we don't know.
What is that? What do you mean he's non-paradoxical?
Well, I mean, if God looks different to different people, how would we know? You know, how would we really know?
Okay, what do you think God is?
Well, if I were to give a straightforward answer, mm-hmm, I would say God represents the aspiration of creation, whatever that is. So, like, God's will would be the will of all things put together.
Well, only
for
right, but Nate, only humans like consciously will things, and then maybe some animals, you know, want to do things like a squirrel gets nuts, things like that. It sounds like you're saying that God is just kind of an idea that we all have. So, like, let's say the sun exploded, and so the earth got vaporized. There's no conscious creatures in the universe. Would God not exist?
I would say that we haven't had sufficient reason to believe that God is outside of our mind.
Oh, okay. Well, then I think that you're
I think maybe he's a creature. Maybe he's a creature that is like symbiotic, kind of like, you know, different animals form like a pair bond with other creatures. For example, the sharks and the fish that clean their scales.
Right.
And so God could be some kind of symbiotic relationship that we have inside of us.
Could God be the creator of the universe?
Creator implies that he's separate from the creation.
Right. Yeah. He's not the same thing. God is that which, just the same as, like, you know, in a rough analogy, if I procreate a child, the child is related to me, dependent upon me, but I am not that child. We are distinct. Could God have brought the universe into existence and keep it in existence?
I would say that kind of statement would be anthropomorphizing God. It would be putting human experience onto what God actually is.
Anthropomorphize
it's
as
kind of like,
go ahead.
Yeah, like putting a human analogy to creation. To something we couldn't possibly understand.
But Nate, wouldn't you agree that any time we talk about God, like if I asked you what God was, you're going to use some kind of description in terms relating to human beings? Like you said, the aspiration of creation, you know, but that's analogous once again. So could God be just existence, perfect immaterial being, perfect goodness, and God chooses to bring this material world into existence. Is that a possibility?
I would say it's theoretically possible,
okay.
But the material world itself is complex enough to be God.
Okay, then...
It is a simulation of creation,
the material,
or real creation.
But I want to, and we can go on a little bit because I'm enjoying the conversation. I want you to think about this a bit more, and I'll have, and Sai isn't here to stop me from doing what I normally do on this show. I want to make sure we get that term God right. Let's define what we're talking about. Because if you define God just as the desires of conscious creatures, to me, that's not the traditional view of God. Would you agree that most religious people, Christians, Jews, Muslims, when they talk about God, they imagine God as the distinct, all-powerful, eternal, perfect creator of the universe? That's what most people think of when they think of God.
Absolutely. But okay. I have to interject and just say that I think that that is a very modern concept. And originally,
okay.
It's just that they didn't have the language to describe the things we're talking about today. I think if you went through the Bible again from scratch and kind of looked at it through their eyes, you would see a very different picture.
Well, what about...
I think today we kind of have this anthropomorphized God that kind of looks like a human in a sense. But back then, they were crying out to God because they didn't know. And now we think we know, we presume to know, because we read these scriptures that were written down by people that were hungry for truth.
So wait,
and
I don't...
And they found some parts of the truth.
Okay, so wait, let's go back to this. You can agree people can find parts of the truth?
They find a reflection of the truth. When you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and you recognize yourself as a human being, there's some reflection of God.
Of
eternity.
But there's different... We have to make sure here that when we're talking about God, there are statements that are mutually exclusive. It either is or isn't. God exists, God doesn't exist. Or God is God is distinct from the universe, God is not distinct from the universe. You can imagine we have all these different statements, is or isn't, and it exhausts all possibilities. So there are people who are right about God and people who are wrong to varying degrees because of these different exclusive questions. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Okay. So if that's the case, we've got all these different ways to describe God that are exclusive. You're either going to get it right or you're going to get it wrong, and lots of different questions. Then wouldn't it seem to me that some people may get more of the questions right than others, so some belief systems more accurately describe God than others?
Yeah.
Okay. So then it would be good then we should try to figure out which belief system most accurately describes God.
But why do we have to settle for that if we think we can get even closer, let's say?
What's closer than knowing what God is like?
Well, substituting relationship for religion.
You mean having a relationship with God?
Right, a personal relationship instead of reading it in a book. You know, I believe God is something that's always with us, always with all humans.
Is God a person, though?
It's a
personal
part of our, it's a part of our psyche or a part of our brain that we don't quite understand.
Well, Nate, I got to be honest with you on this. I think, you know, when we look at ancients, we look at modern people today. On the one hand, you're saying, well, look, we should focus on having a relationship, not just religion. But how does it make sense to have a relationship with my own brain? I understand getting to know yourself, but relationship involves someone else, and I'm the I, they're the thou, a different person who relates to me. So I think that is where we are having an impasse here, that if we're going to talk about religion, and religion's important, religion is man's response to God, we have to figure out what God is. We have to figure that out. So we're running low on time here, so here's what I'd like to do. Once again, Cy Kellett usually stops me from doing this, but that's okay. I wrote a book called Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. And the beginning of that book talks about truth, how we can know truth. And it talks about God, how we can know from logic that God is creator, and how we can know that God is not just a faceless, ambiguous creator, but God is the infinite, perfect act of being that created the universe. So we have an accurate idea about who God is. So stay on the line, and our call screeners will get your contact info. And I would like to send you that book. You can read it. And if we have another show, you can give me a call back and see what you think about that, because we have to go to a break here.
Sounds soon. Like a plan. Yeah. Nate, thank you very much. Fascinating conversation we're having here. The topic is, why aren't you religious? We're talking it over with Trent Horn here on Catholic Answers Live. And I want to remind everybody that we're going to be tackling this topic for the entire length of the show. So both hours, you can definitely get in. 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. Why aren't you religious? Let's talk about it this afternoon here on Catholic Answers Live. Don't go away.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
I feel like God has been really doing a work in me in the last 5-10 years. I'm a convert to Catholicism, and I started to just really feel a passion to know more about the Catholic faith, and I started listening to Catholic radio all day. I'm not doing great things, but I'm doing small things with great love.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Tim Staples here. Since May is the month of Mary and Mother's Day, I'm offering a great opportunity for you to help yourself, your family, and your friends to get to know our Blessed Mother more deeply than ever before. And to help make that happen, we're offering my book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, for only $9.95. Folks, that's over 45% off the regular price. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her assumption into heaven to her role as co-redemptrix, I'll give you all the facts and back them up with solid biblical evidence in a way that's easy to read, remember, and understand. Make this May the month you, your friends, and your family grow closer to the Mother of the Church, our Mother Mary. To get your copies of Behold Your Mother, call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Over the years, we have heard thousands of stories of how the ministry of Catholic Answers and Catholic Answers Live has changed lives all over the world. Do you have such a story? We'd love to hear how Catholic Answers has changed your life. Send your story to us today. Email us at mystory@catholic.com, or you can call 619-387-7200 to make an audio recording of your story.
We welcome you back to Catholic Answers Live. Here's our phone number, 888-318-7884. The question is, why aren't you religious? We kicked it off with a great call from Nate. Gave us a lot to think about. We're going to continue in that and go to Jonathan in Oklahoma, listening to us on 97.3 FM. 97.3 FM, that is, Oklahoma Catholic Broadcasting. Hey there, Jonathan, what's on your mind today?
Hi, your question about why am I not religious?
Yes.
I find religion to be the biggest money-making business in the world.
Why, Jonathan, why do you think that religion is the biggest money-making business in the world? What do you mean, that it has the most money or the richest people? What do you mean by that?
That people use religion to make money rather than care and do those things for one another. The evangelists that go out there and they use their, you must give 10% of your tithe, or you must pay this much to be forgiven for your sins, or whatever it might be that particular religion profess. Okay. And then, even while I was waiting to get on the phone, you're advertising for buy my book, and here it is. Mm-hmm. If you weren't being paid, would you continue to do what you do?
Absolutely. I would want to share Jesus Christ and the gospel with other people. I want to do it so much. I want to devote my entire life to being able to share the gospel with other people. But in order to devote one's life to something, to do something all the time, 5 days a week, as much as I can, I still got to put a roof over my head and I have to feed my kids. Does that make sense?
And why can't you go ahead and live a life that goes ahead and cares for others, that is going ahead and providing a service and still share Christ as your knowledge of Christ? Who is Christ?
That's a good question. Who do you think Jesus Christ is?
When we go to the Bible, it tells us that Christ told us to become one with God as he's with God.
Where did he say that?
Isn't that found in Hebrews?
I'm not familiar with that paraphrase. Jesus said to be, he says, to be holy as your heavenly Father is holy, or he said in Matthew, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God, or Jesus wants us to have communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus revealed himself to be the eternal Son of God, and he gave us his church. But Jonathan, let me back up a little bit here, because I don't think this is a good objection to religion. Let's say you're right. I agree with you. There are people who use religion to make a ton of money at the expense of other people. I would say, though, that's a minority. I mean, if you look at all of the different Catholic priests and monks and nuns who take vows of poverty, and other religions where people, you know, ministers and pastors, they're just getting by. They're not rich. If you look up the richest people in the world, they're not bishops and priests. They're usually bankers or the guy who made Facebook. But I'll give you, there are some televangelists who are rolling in money. I'll give you that. But does that prove that religion as a whole is a bad thing? Like, let me give you an analogy. Would you agree that there are people who sell fake medicine, like snake oil salesmen? They'll sell the cure for everything on infomercials, and they're not helping anybody. They're just making a bunch of money. Just because there's a few bad people who abuse medicine to make money doesn't mean medicine as a whole is a bad thing. In the same way, there's a few bad people who abuse religion to make money. It doesn't mean religion as a whole is a bad thing. Do you see the comparison I'm making?
I didn't say religion was a bad thing.
Okay. You said you're not religious because it's a money-making business?
I find offense in the hypocrisy that I see in every religion that I've ever looked at.
What hypocrisy? Wait, Jonathan, hold on. What hypocrisy do you see in every single religion?
The individuals that are in these positions. I'm not going to try and bash anything or anyone.
Okay.
Some of the best people I have ever experienced having a relationship with were Catholic.
Okay.
But I've traveled a lot, and I've seen many different religions, and anyone truly living the spirituality of their religion is normally a very, as you said, good person.
Right.
They're not selfish. They are caring for their fellow man, because one of your advertisements was talking about something said so many times that people think that that's actually in the scripture.
Right.
Whereas in the scripture that it says, when you're in the service to your fellow man, you're in the service to your God.
I'm not familiar with that being in scripture.
No.
Exactly. But is that not a Christ-like trait?
Well, Jonathan, I'll agree with you that there are truths that correspond to what we believe that are not found in the Bible. I don't disagree with you there. But so far, I'm not seeing, like, because I would wonder if you, not just being religious, but if you would call yourself a Christian.
Believing in Christ.
Yeah, would you call yourself a Christian?
Yes.
Okay, cool. What do you believe that Jesus, that he rose from the dead?
Yes.
Okay, do you believe Jesus is God become man, the Son of God?
Yes.
Amen. Amen, brother. So, I mean, the show, you know, we're asking you, Lydia, why aren't you religious? And it seems to me that you are Christian, but you don't want to have the label religious. But in the letter of James, it's let me bring it up here. It says about what true religion is, James 1:27. Because I think sometimes you think, well, I'm going to, you know, I'll follow Jesus, I'll follow Christ, I'll be a good person, and I'll serve others. And this word religion, it's like this poison pill that gets dropped in. And we associate that word religion with hypocrisy, money-making, sin. But religion is a good thing. Religion is man's response to God. Here's what James 1:27 says. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So religion is just our response to God. How are we going to respond to Jesus? And so what I believe as a Catholic, and I don't know your background on this or other issues, is that Jesus became man, God became man to redeem us from our sins, and he gave us his church. He gave us a church so we could be cleansed from sin with the waters of baptism. That if we fall into sin after baptism, we can be reconciled to God by going to confession. You don't pay money to go to confession. You just go with a humble heart, and God, working through the priest, standing in the person of Christ, absolves us of our sins. Receiving Jesus, the body and blood of Christ. If we want to be close to Christ, receive the Eucharist. And so God gave us, Jesus didn't, the Bible never says Jesus gave us a Bible. The Bible says Jesus gave us a church built on the apostles that would last until he came again. And so for me, yeah, why not? Why would we not, you know, let's not think of religion as this poison pill with all these negative stereotypes. Let's instead say religion is how man turns to God. And if we turn to God, why wouldn't we turn to the church that Jesus Christ gave us?
Absolutely.
That's something to think about. So thanks for calling.
Jonathan, appreciate your call. Here's our phone number, 888-318-7884. A fascinating subject today. Why aren't you religious? 888-318-7884. Talking it over here today with Trent Horn on Catholic Answers Live. Let's go now to Robert in Campbell, Ohio. Hey there, Robert. What's on your mind today? Robert in Campbell, Ohio. Robert? Okay. Why don't we go on then to Danielle in New Jersey, listening on Sirius XM channel 130. Hey there, Danielle. What's on your mind today?
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. It's the first time I'm doing this. All right. So I didn't bring my children up in the Catholic Church. I was raised in the Catholic Church. I should say I went to church. Did my communion, I did confirmation, and I've always believed in God. What I found with the Catholic Church is that if your family was not involved, and I happened to not have a family that was involved, you were ignored. So as a child, okay, I had one priest in my life who made, as a seven-year-old, made a honest commitment to know me. He saw the poverty I lived in. Okay? He made sure that he spoke to me. Okay? Everyone else's families were involved with the church and in the community. Okay? But when you're outside of the community, you become the outsider. Okay? So when this priest happened to leave, okay, there was nobody. So I went through all of my church with nobody.
Sorry to hear that.
Being part of that community. Okay? I was never brought into that community. Okay? Because I was ignored because I came from not the right kind of family.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear if you were within a parish community where you were made to feel not welcome or not feeling a Christ-centered spirit of hospitality within the parish. And I'll agree with you, Danielle, that this is a problem endemic in Catholic churches. you know, it's difficult. I feel like, you know, when you go to Protestant churches, some Protestant churches, everyone's just on the lookout to find the new person, the guest, and, mm-hmm. and kind of reel them in. Whereas the Catholic churches, you're right, it's like the families, different people go. And for me, being a convert, my family, my immediate family is not Catholic. When I go to Catholic churches, yeah, it can feel very, very lonely to go in and say, well, why am I not connected to all of these other people? What am I doing here? And I've felt that loneliness. Now that I'm married, I have a family I go to Mass with. But to have that loneliness and feel like people don't notice you, it's hard. But I would just say this, like when you or other people, and I know that you've come back to the church, you told us before, and praise be to God for that. But there may be other people listening who go to Mass and feel alone. They haven't been reached out to. Here's my advice. Number one, put yourself out there to reach out to others. Find a ministry, a community, that there are other people like you within the parish who you know, want to get to know people, want to know others. Find the gift God has given you. Find a gift God has given you and bloom where that is planted, whether it's a hospitality committee. You'll be the one who greets people that come into church, Knights of Columbus, Women's Sodality, Curcio, whatever it may be. And then you can meet other like-minded people. And number two, if you feel this way, and I felt this way in church, feeling so alone, like, what am I doing here? Who knows I'm here? Look up at that crucifix in every Catholic church. That Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He knows you're there. He loves you. He knows you're there. That's why He died on that cross, for you to sit in that very seat to receive His very body and blood. And that's the thing that, you know, for a long time when I went to Mass by myself for years, what kept me going was knowing He knows I'm there and He wants me to be there to Absolutely. Share intimate communion with Him. And that is something, if there's only one person who knows me at church, I'm glad if that's Him. That's the person from an eternal perspective. We want Him, our Lord, to know us. So just that's helped me before. Maybe that'll help you or others.
Hopefully so. Danielle, thank you so much for your call. When we come back from our quick break, we're going to try Robert in Campbell, Ohio one more time. And we have a line open for you as well, 888-318-7884. The topic today, why aren't you religious? We're going to tackle this for the next hour and a quarter. Why aren't you religious? 888-318-7884, right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live with Trent Horn is coming right back.
Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite and inform your faith.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
And I'm having the time of my life.
Early bird pricing ends July 2nd. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Tim Staples here. Since May is the month of Mary and Mother's Day, I'm offering a great opportunity for you to help yourself, your family, and your friends to get to know our Blessed Mother more deeply than ever before. And to help make that happen, we're offering my book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines for only $9.95. Folks, that's over 45% off the regular price. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her assumption into heaven to her role as co-redemptrix, I'll give you all the facts and back them up with solid biblical evidence in a way that's easy to read, remember, and understand. Make this May the month you, your friends, and your family grow closer to the Mother of the Church, our Mother Mary. To get your copies of Behold Your Mother, call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
We have Trent Horn with us here for the next hour and a quarter, talking about a fascinating subject. Why aren't you religious? I think it's a very timely topic. And, you know, back in the day, when I was a youngster, religion was everywhere. It just seemed, you know, it was a normal cultural thing. But many things changed in the 60s, certainly in the 70s. And now we find ourselves in kind of unsure waters, don't we, Trent?
Yes. There's many people who say we live in a post-Christian age.
Well, that's just depressing to me.
Yeah. And I think, though, I mean, still the majority of people in the world identify as Christian. Mm-hmm. Really, I think not the majority identify as Christian. The majority of people in the world identify as religious. They believe in
right.
God. One-third of the largest religions would be Christianity. Mm-hmm. If you put all of the different denominations together, the largest church would be the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. There is a rise that, especially among young people, I think now it's one in every three or one in every four. I think it might be one in every three young people under the age of 30 identifies as being not religious. So, I mean, it is growing, and I'm not sure why. I mean, that's a sociological question. I have many different thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we live in an age of distraction. We live in an age where it's easy to keep oneself occupied from thinking about important things. Neil Postman wrote a wonderful book a while back called Amusing Ourselves to Death, and it covers this a bit. I mean, and now, I mean, that book was written a long time ago. Now we've got streaming media, mm-hmm. smartphones. Isn't it amazing that we have more leisure-saving technology now than people had 100 years ago, yet it feels like we are completely busy to the brim?
Oh, yeah.
And we have kept ourselves that way because of these devices that pull us away from, I think, thinking about things that matter more than just these kind of amusements. That's one thought I have on that.
Very good. We can talk about that all night long, I think. Here's our phone number, 888-318-7884. Let's go back to Robert in Campbell, Ohio. Hey there, Robert. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I'm not religious. And I go to church regularly. I'm a cantor at a Byzantine Catholic church. I just don't pray. I just don't feel it. You know?
Okay.
It bugs the heck out of me.
Why, Robert? And, why does it bother you that you don't pray?
I don't pray enough.
So you feel like you have an obligation. You should be praying more.
Yes.
Good. Because there's a lot of people who don't pray and they don't care. So that means there's something within your conscience telling you you're kind of separated from the person, from the God who should be praying to. Did you used to pray a lot and feel like you had a pretty... Did you describe yourself as religious and pray a lot at one point?
I was raised as a Byzantine Catholic, mm-hmm. and I'm a cantor now in my Byzantine Catholic church, and it's just.
Well, Robert, I'm trying to figure out the trajectory. At one time, would you say you were religious and you did pray a lot?
No.
You never.
I pray when things are bad, and you know, like when my mother was sick, and when she passed away, my parents, you know, but it's just I don't see the connection.
Okay, Robert, let me do an inventory here. Do you believe God exists?
Yes.
Do you believe that God revealed Himself as Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Son of
God? Yes.
Okay. Do you believe Jesus gave us a church? He gave us the Catholic Church to receive grace from Him?
Yes.
Good. So far, inventory's stacking up real well. So I think it's not a head problem. It's a heart and a will problem, a feeling of like, I'm not getting up and just doing this. And the only cure for I'm not praying enough is just to start praying. let me look up here. There is a book by Peter Kraft on this subject. Wonderful book. Prayer for Beginners. I remember reading a long time ago. Prayer for Beginners. That'd be my first recommendation for you. Get Peter Kraft's book, Prayer for Beginners. Because I think a lot of us, here's the problem why we end up having problems with prayer. We treat God as kind of like a spiritual vending machine. You know, God is out there, he made the world, and God's job is to help me when I'm in trouble. And so we go to him when we need help. Like, you know, you had a relative, you had someone in your family dealing with cancer, you know, things like that. But yet, and we pray and we ask these things, but then the times between our prayers, you know, we check in, ask for something, we're gone. We check and we ask for something, we're gone. And yet, even though we're praying, it still feels empty inside. Like we're not growing closer to God. And we can't if we only treat our relationship with God as one where my prayer is for God to give me things that I need. But that's not the relationship. The relationship is for us to become more like God. 1 Peter 4:8 says that, you know, he says that we are partakers of the divine nature. That this is what I love about Catholicism. And, you know, I'm a convert. Instead of being Protestant, what I loved about Catholicism is that through the grace of God, in Protestant theology, your sins are merely covered with Christ's righteousness. In Catholic theology, the righteousness of Christ is infused. It's like injected with a spiritual needle into your very being. So we can be, as the scripture says, we can be a new creation. That's wonderful. So here's, you see inside, you want to be closer to God. You just don't feel it. Here's what I would just recommend. Do it even though you don't feel it. And what you'll have to do to start is just when you get up in the morning, just to start every day, and you'll have to do this or it won't work, your knees will have to hit the ground first, not your feet. Let your knees hit the ground first. And follow this formula. Sometimes we have a hard time understanding how we're supposed to pray. Here's a formula I'd recommend for you and our listeners. It's a formula I love. Many other people use it. It's called ACTS. A-C-T-S. ACTS. Here's how we pray to God. A is for adoration. We just sit there and we just tell God, we recognize how great God is. And that's not for God's ego. He doesn't need it. We just adore God and recognize how great God is, because then we understand how much we need God. Then contrition, to say, I've fallen short, God. Maybe in your case, I don't feel close to you. I feel far away from you. I'm sorry. Please help me. I want to return to you. Then thanksgiving, to thank God for what he's given us, even when he's given us trials. Even sometimes this spiritual dryness, and if you Google spiritual dryness, I think you'll see from a lot of people that's what you're going through right now. That can be something that gives us a kick in the pants to get closer to God. Because right now, you're in a good place in that you know there's a problem and you want to act on it and not just stop caring anymore. So this could be a blessing, actually. And then supplication, S, which is where we ask God for the things we need and want in life to align our wills closer to him. So the prayer formula is A-C-T-S, adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication. And I'd recommend that if you want to feel closer to God and understand how to make prayer work more, you'll need accountability. So at your church, talk to the priest. Talk to the priest at your Byzantine church and say, hey, can I have a spiritual mentor, a director, someone I can talk to just to give me advice on these things? And if you do those things and you stick to them, I think you'll see your prayer life increase and you'll be a lot happier and you'll grow closer to God in that respect. So I threw a lot out at you, but is that helpful to start at least?
Yes, it is, because I'm very faithful liturgically. I'm there every time, for every baptism, every funeral, every liturgy.
Right, but you're you're not feeling it, and that's the thing. You know, this old saying: going in a church doesn't make you Christian. Just like being in a garage doesn't make you a car. It's important. We have to be there to receive Jesus, right, to receive those graces. But then we have to get on our knees. We have to open our hearts up to receive that, to be properly disposed. So check that out. Talk to your priest for spiritual direction and visit our website, Catholic.com, for more on that.
Great advice for you there, Robert. And my wife and I have used ACTS ourselves. It is a winner. Stick around. We are going to tackle this in the next hour. Why aren't you religious? Call now. We'll put you on hold and get you ready for the next hour. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Back in a few moments on more Catholic Answers Live.